Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family by John D. Houck is a fictional account of the revolutionary conflict between the British and the American New Republic and the expansion toward the West. It includes, in italics, the factual accounts of events during the conflict. The result? Well, a novel that will stimulate a desire to research and learn more about our country and its new republic form of government. John D. Houck has a Ph.D. in education, an M.S.M. in business management, and a B.S. in economics and history, an author, college professor, and economist. And John D. Houck, author of the celebrated historical fiction Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Houck, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm really fascinated by the format, the way you went about writing this. What, first of all, inspired you to write Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family? Where did this idea come from?
Well, when I was in Europe, when I was in the military in Europe, I was taking a course in European history from the University of Maryland online. And I got so interested in history that I just continued following through on the history level. It became my second love in life, just to learn all about I could about what happened in the world. And then when I got back to America after the military, I started traveling, and I took my family every summer. We took them traveling throughout America, looking at American history, levels and locations. The picture that's on my email is me standing by the Erie Canal. And all of these things in America fascinated me. So I just dug in deeper and deeper. And I've been writing books and materials in my business, which mostly was economics or investment advisory business. And that this was the first attempt to do something that I've always wanted to do, is delve into the history and write a novel, believing that I was there in that family at that time. And that's where it came from.
It's a unique perspective that you bring to Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. And to be, as you're writing this, you are putting yourself in the position of the people during that time period. Thus, you put the reader into that same time period, into the minds of the people and what was going on. Talk about the approach of incorporating factual events into the novel and the use of italics for historical accounts and how that benefits the reader. How did you come up with that concept? Because I find it fascinating.
Well, most of the history books that I, novels that I've read, they mix the history and story together. I wanted them separated so people could actually look up the history for themselves to find out what it really was about. So the italics keeps it separate from the story. And that's the reason I set up the italic idea. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but I sure wanted to try it anyway.
This is only a survey of one reader, but I like that aspect of it. It does get us interested to look further into the topic. It gives us some background as we're going. And I love the concept of historical fiction. Talk about that, and then balancing historical fiction with the factual events that you've included. What were some of the challenges in writing in this format?
Well, the research was difficult because what happened is when I write some of the story, and then I want to make sure that I said some history that was somewhat accurate. And so I read book after book after book on the particular subject, and I found that everybody had a different opinion on what the subject was. So I would take what I thought was the best thought and put that in. They had the dates all mixed up. They had the amount of people that were injured all mixed up. And so what I did is I just took the most common written parts of the history and incorporated that into the italics.
Our guest on the program is John D. Houck. That's Houck. The name of the book is Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. The book available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. A link to Dr. Houck's Amazon page on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I want to talk about the family involved here, and I'll do that in a second, but what initially sparked your interest, especially in the Revolutionary War era? What is it that really drove your passion, continues to drive your passion for this era of history?
What drives my passion is what happens to the ordinary people in those times. Right now I'm writing a new book, and I'm doing that based on the carpetbaggers and what happened with the carpetbaggers and the actual families. And these families had to go through all kinds of torture in the Revolutionary War. Trying to decide their loyalties, for one thing, was very difficult because they were very loyal to the British government. And in this particular case, they had to break away from the British government, and it took some movements to make them move from that position.
The book is Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. Let's talk about John Calvin Casey, and then we see his family through the eyes of Phil Peepers. Talk about the family and the Phil Peepers character.
Oh, the Peeper, Mr. Peepers, that's everybody's conscience.
Yes.
I always believe that everybody had to have a conscience, and they would do things, doing the right things, picking the right things. And so that's their conscience. Or you might say, in some cases, they call it the spirit is involved in people's decisions. And that's what Mr. Peepers was. He was the spirit that was telling John what to do and how to do it. And that's kind of, I involve that in there because I know all of us in the world have a little voice in our heads that says, don't do this or do this. Be careful, don't do that.
Exactly. And it works in telling the story of John Calvin Casey. Talk about John and the Casey family and their role in this story.
The Casey family was a kind of a middle in, kind of a middle family, with decisions that they had to decide what they were going to do, either side with the British or side with the revolutionary movement. This family was put in a position that they didn't have a choice. By sending in troopers into their house and destroying their barn and taking their family and killing their animals, turned them against the British army. And with that, they decided to back the revolutionary movement.
You talk a lot about that, the conflict, the new country versus the oppressive British. And it's fascinating. We remember some of this from history, but you bring it alive in the book Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers. Talk about that conflict, and you touched on it briefly, where these people were concerned about their safety, about the lives of themselves as well as family members. What was that conflict life like for the people that actually experienced that, trying to start this new country?
Well, it was very difficult at that particular time in life. I feel sorry for the British at that particular time, because the British soldiers were actually good people, just like the American soldiers were. And it's always, all conflicts take place by leaders in their governments that decide what's good and bad for people. The British government was led by a dictator type of king, King George. And in that particular thing, he decided that, and what he had to do is he had to pay off some debts that he had from our earlier wars that he had. So he decided to tax the American people to an extent that was getting difficult for the American people to withstand. And because of that, that's where the revolutionary started. So they first asked the government of England to please lay off, cut off these bad taxes and everything. And then Benjamin Franklin went there and he talked about that. But what happened is the British government just pressed more taxes and more taxes and more this, more restrictions. And pretty soon when this conflict started, they started sending in troops, and one thing led to another, and the family ended up having to choose which side they wanted to be on.
And you bring that come alive in the book. What did you learn in writing this and doing the research? And what do you hope that we learn as readers? Because it's a unique perspective, maybe some stories that we vaguely remember from our history classes, but a lot of new information we're getting. What did you learn in researching and writing this?
I learned a lot about little tidbits of history that most books don't even cover. And I think that's the exciting part, that there are some of the things that don't look at it, like General Burgoyne. When I think about him, I think of a very fine individual that's fighting for the British cause, and he's doing everything he can, but he's a very human individual. And he decided, you know, he wants to be a human general, and he took care of his troops properly, and he didn't overbear and everything. By showing him as a decent man, I hope to show people that there was a lot of great people from Britain that were decent and holy in their thinking. General Burgoyne ended up going back to England and serving there, and as an artist and a stage, and he did different things, and he lived a decent life for the rest of his life, knowing that he was against war. So here's a good, maybe we ought to write more books about what happened on the loser of wars instead of what we do for the winners of wars.
I was just thinking of that. What an interesting concept. And so often we make these people like little pieces on a chessboard, and we move them around, and we forget that they are human beings and lessons learned in all of this, in winning and in losing. And the book really opens our eyes to history, a different perspective of that era, the Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. Our guest is the author, John Houck, H-O-U-C-K. Book, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. And if you've got our website, you can go directly to the book's Amazon page, get information, and order it there as well. What do you believe are some of the more significant lessons or themes that you convey in writing the book? And is there any application to those now in the contemporary society, what we're living in today?
Well, it seems like every war has the same theme. You have one person that's more of a dictator and tries to control everything, and the opposite that doesn't want to be controlled. That seems to be the theme of all wars. But what in this particular case, the Revolutionary War is quite unique because it's a people that were mostly thrown out of England and thrown out of the European area because of their religions or because of their problems that they had. And they formed in the New World. They came to the New World to get away from probably being persecuted in many ways. So they started here in the United States, and they became very independent. And where England failed on their understanding that the American society had already become an independent society. So what they did is they tried to suppress this freedom that these people felt and tried to bring them back to the way they were when they were in England and Europe at the time they didn't want to be there. So that's what's happened. And that's why this theme of this is to show an American family that finally thought they had peace and understanding and fine living style and everything, and found out but they couldn't do it because, again, the oppressor was pressing them.
You have a quote from Ben Franklin when signing the Constitution. He said, "You have a republic if you can keep it." How are we doing?
Not so good. One of the things we have to keep in mind that the republic is a mixture of the different states. And what we've kind of gone towards is a little more centralized government. That's one of the Confederates' arguments, that we had too much centralized government. That was one of the main themes of the Confederate War. It wasn't all on slavery. It was a lot on this independent thinking that each state should have their own individual rights. We understand that that's kind of an impossible proposition because each state has a different opinion. And it showed in the Civil War when they did that some of the states rebelled on going into war. Georgia kind of resisted joining it because they said, "We're an independent state. We don't have to join this." And they came back and forced everybody into it because the independent states couldn't make the choice on whether they wanted to go to war or not. So we saw that falling apart as it stood in the Civil War. So that's what's happened. We've lost too much of the independence of individual states and moved too much into central government.
You have in here a quote again. This is Thomas Paine in Common Sense, warned us of one-man leadership in this country. And that's such an interesting topic. How far should leaders go? How far do we want leaders to go? You talk about when you put someone in a position of leadership, they lead sometimes, but they have a hand, become very protective of their position, of their power in keeping it. Talk about that balance and how we're doing in trying to maintain that balance where we're independent free thinkers, but all part of a collective group in the Republic.
It's impossible to tell what's in the minds of the current president and the past presidents and all that. But we understand one thing, that if they take power away from the people, then we're losing our freedom. And that's what it's all about. Keep the power to the people, as Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin said in the beginning, we are a republic, and if we lose that, we're doomed. Democracy is a big problem, because pure democracy means that the majority wins on a vote. So a personality on a pure democracy government is a dangerous situation, because you can get somebody with charisma like John F. Kennedy had great charisma, and he could have become a dictator on that charisma if we had a pure democracy. So this is the one thing that's dangerous, as a pure democracy. So you had the republic to break up that idea, and that's why you had the republic, so one state couldn't have more votes than the other states by using an electoral college came through. And those are the things that kept us as a free republic.
You know, it's interesting. The name of the book, by the way, Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic Family by John D. Houck, Houck, if you're just joining us. Information and a link to his website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about that. I'm always fascinated by what went into this group of men that got together to form the republic that almost 250 years later is still standing. Talk about how the American Trailblazers, the patriotic American family, how did they do in foreseeing possible problems and putting the structure together? Because it appears it's a very intricate structure they put together. Talk about what went into this process. It wasn't something they spent a weekend and came up with this format. At least it appears to me, you're a lifelong educator and you've studied this extensively. It appears they really put a lot of thought into this. This is a very impressive document that they put together, a country they put together.
Yes, the people in the Casey family were just ordinary people. They weren't politicians. All they were is farmers. They'd like to trade and do the things that was what their fathers did and their forefathers did. So what happened in that particular thing is they had to become ingenuity, they had to develop ingenuity in developing different things. So John Casey himself decided, you know, with orders from our government officials to set up a city. And then from there, they set up several other cities. And they started going across the country and starting setting up different things in different locations. I tried to give the locations of different things that were going on during that particular time. And I used the sons as the tool, or the brothers as the tool, to show what they were doing to set up different locations and get and further move towards the West.
In writing this book, and I say this as a reader, this gives me a better sense of American culture and identity. Is this one of the goals that you had in mind as you were writing the book, for the average person can read it and really get a sense of appreciation for our country and what it's gone through and where we are today?
Yes, I wrote the book with the idea of putting 14-point type in there, which gives it a larger type so people can read it. I know as I got older, it's hard to read with the little tiny type. So,
yeah, and somebody is older. Thank you for doing that.
So that was the reason for the larger type, which made the book a little more expensive, but it actually made it more readable. And in that process of putting that together like that, I wanted people to read it on about a 20-year-old to a 25-year-old level, age 25 to your level.
Yes.
So I kept away from any large words or any words that were not normally used. A lot of writers like to put in fancy words and everything because they want to make sure that everybody knows they're well-educated.
Yes.
I didn't do that.
Well, and again, we thank you for that. We could read this book without a dictionary right by it to try to look up and go, what is the guy or the gal trying to say in this? It's very understandable. It's relatable. An excellent job of storytelling. And we've got a few minutes left here. Talk about your background, in education, in teaching, and being a scholar. How did that help in writing the book and your ability to storytell? Because you bring it come alive because of storytelling. It's not just fact after fact. We know that. And sometimes we look at that and our eyes glaze over. This makes history come alive. Where did this come from, the ability for storytelling? Is that part of the background in academia?
Not really. My background in education and all that, most of the time, either advising different companies and writing books for different companies. I did books on management, books on economics. I've written articles. I've written insurance books. I've written all kinds of things for industry and the investment industry. And I also wrote a lot of things for different companies. So this was a breakaway from what I like as a hobby, which is my history. I love history more than anything. And I thought, now I'm getting older. I want to let people know what my feelings are about American history. And I'm going to continue telling people all the good things that has happened in this most wonderful country that we're in and is still going and is still a wonderful country.
And you do it in such a way we're informed, we're educated, we're more knowledgeable after reading the book. The book is Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family by John D. Houck, Houck. Book available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Amazon link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You touched on it before. Let's talk about other books that you're in the process of writing. You're so talented, gifted at this, and you're able to bring your topics because of your passion to life. What can we expect next from you?
Well, the book that I'm playing around with right now has to do with the carpetbaggers. What happened to the Southern family that had slavery, and what happened to those families and the evolutionary of the evolution of the carpetbaggers movement into the society. For 4 years after the Civil War, the people were in floundering around wondering what to do. And finally they came through with an idea that they would send these governors to different locations to decide what to do with the people. Sometimes these governors were very vicious and very involved in gaining monetary money for themselves, sometimes to the result of hurting families, including the slaves of the families. These kind of things need to be brought out, and the people need to understand that there's many sides to the Revolutionary War, and also what happened to these families after the Revolutionary War was over, and the carpetbaggers came in with after the Civil War, which was a very difficult area of the war with the carpetbaggers. And that's what I'm going to be concentrating on now, is after the Civil War and the carpetbaggers and how that afflicted the families in the South.
Really looking forward to that, and hopefully we will have an opportunity to talk about that. This book is so well done, and when you go to Amazon, you go to Barnes & Noble, if you just click on the author, you'll be able to see how Dr. Houck is doing when the next book will be available. Information there, and you can order this book, Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. My thanks to King Pages Press for arranging our conversation. King Pages Press is Dr. Houck's authors of a marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. And we thank them for arranging the conversation today. Dr. Houck, it's been a pleasure. Time has gone by so quickly. Excellent job with this book. Hopefully we can continue this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. The book, once again, by John Houck, H-O-U-C-K, Revolutionary War and the American Trailblazers, Quest of a Patriotic American Family. You're listening to This Week in America. Information on the book available, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.